Would you stand with me today? And we're going to be looking at Deuteronomy chapter number 30. And this is part 10 of a series, the Heroes of the Faith series. And many of you understand the passage of Scripture that we're opening up to. We're coming to an end of our first hero in the life of Moses. And truly, honestly, there are many pastors in this room that understand that we could preach really an entire year, maybe a year and a half on this man's life. If we were to hit every detail, which is amazing how God used this leader in such a great way. But we're coming to the end of this series and also the end of this man's life. And as we come to the end of this series, I want us to see a man who is truly thinking ahead, a man that continues to think ahead. And we find ourselves here in Deuteronomy chapter number 30. Would you look with me at verse number 11? Verse number 11 of Deuteronomy chapter number 30, the Bible says this. For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Verse number 12, it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us in heaven and bring it unto us, now that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thine heart, that thou mayest do it. This morning I want to preach a message entitled, Good Advice. Good Advice. All of us at some time or another, we should have been given advice. We were growing up, we didn't necessarily ask for it, but our parents gave us advice. The older that we get, the more advice that I think we want. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety, is what the Bible says. And no matter what stage of life you and I are in, we desire that counsel. We desire that good advice, whether it be raising kids or teenagers or marriage advice or maybe investments and planning for that 401k. All of us, at some time or another, have asked for counsel. And I think many of us can go back and say that at some time or another, we've been given good advice. Well, at the end of this man's life, he begins to lay out some really good advice that is not just archaic and old and it's not for us, but I believe it is very applicable for you and I living in December of 2021. And today we want to focus on good advice. Father, thank you, Lord, for already the music and Father, how it's been uplifting to your name today. Father, I ask now, Lord, as we come to this passage, that you would allow us to rightly divide the word of truth. Father, there's visitors here today, and Father, whether it's their first time in church in a long time, or Father, they grew up at church and have been out for a while, Father, whatever the reason is today, maybe looking for a church that they can come and worship in. Father, I ask, Lord, that you speak to their hearts. Father, for the members, those who have just joined recently, and those who have been faithful for many years, God, I ask that our hearts and our lives would be open today. I ask, Savior, that you'd work and lead and guide and direct us as men, direct us as women, Father, as moms and dads and grandparents and single adults in this room today, teenagers that are in here, God, speak to us. Be right in our midst today. We love you. In your son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to ask you a question, and don't answer this out loud, but I want you to think about it. We opened up to a book, and I want you to look at the title of this book. Look at the, what is this book called? We have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Then we have this book that I just had you open up to, and the book is called Deuteronomy. Now think about that word for just a moment, the word Deuteronomy. When is the last time, besides opening up to a book of the Bible, you use that word Deuteronomy in our English language? Moms, dads, when's the last time you ever said, look, I'm going to have to lay down some Deuteronomy on these kids? It's very rare, if not ever. I mean, we never use this word. To be honest with you, it's a word that many, I'd say today, if I ask the question, even for seasoned Christians, what does the word Deuteronomy mean? There are many in this room that probably say, give me a little bit of time here. We all hit up Google real quick or ask Siri, you know, well, what does the word Deuteronomy mean? Okay, let's think about it for just a moment. The book of Deuteronomy, which means this, it means the second law or repetition of the law. In this book, it really tells how Moses repeated many of the laws that God had already laid down for his people. You see, if you read to the entirety of this book, Deuteronomy is really a journal of about 30 days. Now, we see in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, we're talking about several decades that is written of history in those books. When we come to Deuteronomy, the entire journal is about 30 days long. It's structured around three sermons that Moses begins to give to the people at the end of his life. You see, these people now, in the life of Moses, they have come out of Egypt and they have been in wanderings for 40 years. And when we come to finally Deuteronomy chapter number 30, this is coming to the end of these 40 years of wandering around. Moses comprehends and has already been given the news that he is not going to be able to go into Canaan. He knows that his time is short, and so what he's going to do is he's going to, in this book, give them a remembrance. He's going to begin to give them some advice. He's going to begin to train and teach, and at the end of his life, just begin to pump in some last counsel, some words that he would have for these people. You see, the first five books of the Bible, we have Genesis, which is man and destitution, Exodus, which is deliverance, we have Leviticus, which is dedication, Numbers, which is going to be discipline, and by the time we come to Deuteronomy, we are going to really see this dedication, or watch this direction for the people. And this is where we're going to find Moses. He is giving direction. He is laying out a plan. He is letting them comprehend and understand that I am now coming to the end of my leadership in your life. So here is a direction. See, now listen, church, very carefully. I'm moving quickly through this, but we got several areas that I want us to see today. Watch now. A leader's job isn't finished until he passes on the mantle of leadership to those who are going to be carry on God's work to the next generation. It's why Paul stated it this way, and the things that which thou hast learned of me and among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So here's what Paul's saying. What you have learned of me, I want you to take that and I want you to commit it. I want you to teach it. I want you to give to direction to the next generation that's coming up behind you. This is where we find Moses in his life. Moses doesn't come to the end. He doesn't get this bad news that I don't have time to develop today. And he doesn't sit back and whine and cry and, well, it's not fair. And I've done all this for 40 years. And okay, so I lost my temper a little bit. Okay, so I took things into my own hands. And maybe I didn't do it exactly how you wanted, God. But seriously, that's going to keep me out of the promised land. That's going to keep me from finishing the task in which you gave me. No, hold on just a moment. Although for many of us reading those passages of Scripture, we'd have said, it's not fair. Excuse me, it's not fair. Doesn't seem fair. 40 years this man's just dedicated his life. He messes up a little bit. He does something that's a little bit abnormal. I mean, good grief, give him a break. And yet, here's the news he got. Check it out. You're not going to be able to go into the promised land. You don't get to finish it. In my life, I feel like many of us living today would have at that moment said, you know what? I did all this and this is the way I'm treated. I'm done. Guess what, God? If this is the way you're going to put on me that this is my punishment, which seems so much greater than the sin that I've committed, I'm done. But that's not where we find Moses. We find Moses as this. He's committing a direction to the next generation. He is committing a foundation that he's already laid for them. And now we come to Deuteronomy. He's going to once again lay down this law. He's going to recommit to them. Look, just because you don't have me, you must continue on. You must carry on. You must finish the task that is at hand. How many understand today by an amen, you and I have been given a task? Would you say amen? That means this, you and I as Christians, we've been commissioned. We're ambassadors. We're living the gospel. We're sharing the gospel. If there was ever a day and age where you and I need to recommit, where you and I need the advice to continue on, that day and age is right now. If you agree, that say amen today. It's right now. The good advice, Moses reminded the people, if you're taking notes this morning, here's what I want you to write down. Moses reminded the people, number one, to stay faithful. Number one, to stay faithful. Look at verse number 14 here of this passage of Scripture. Look what it says. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Now watch very carefully. Moses, in verse number 11, 12, and 13, is reminding them that Israel's return is not hidden from them. Watch now. He's telling them that the promised land is not far off. In thy mouth and in thy heart, thou mayest do it. It's not that you have to be wondering. It's not just say, well, who's going to go for us and who's going to talk for us and how are we going to get in and how are we going to complete this task? No, when Moses stops and when Moses continues to pump in to this next and this future generation that has now been wondering and they've lost all their parents by this point, this next generation, we could almost call them Gen Z or Gen Y, this generation that's coming up behind them, what he's telling them is this, watch now, the task that has been put before you, you cannot stop now. You cannot let anything stop you. You must hold on to the very promises of God. And if God said 40 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, check it out, since Joseph has been dead, 400 years has passed. If God promised you 400 years ago, listen, you can take it to the bank that God is going to fulfill his promise. No matter what you think, no matter what everyone else says, no matter the feeling of the room, no matter what struggles or trials you go through, God is going to fulfill what he has promised unto you. That's what Moses is telling them. Now check it out. How many comprehend that God has promised you and I some things in his word as well? Would you say amen? He's promised some things. In his word, not just for Moses and these people, but for you and I, God in his word, in this Bible that you and I hold in our hands today, in this Bible, God has promised some things. How about this promise today? God has promised you and I salvation by faith. Are you thankful for that today? Say amen. He's promised us salvation. That means this, it doesn't matter who you are in this room today. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you know what the Bible says? You can receive him. I'm thankful for that today. You and I, no matter our background, no matter who we are, no matter what we have gone through, the Bible says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says, you and I don't have to work for it. You and I don't have to climb the ladder. You and I don't have to beat ourselves up. No, it is a free gift for you and I. It's not something that you work for. Baptism does not save you. Coming to church does not save you. Putting money in the offering plate does not save you. Being a good person does not save you. But I am thankful today that the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary, it does save you and I. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Pastor, you don't understand. I've been a pretty bad person. Well, you're in good company today because we're all sinners in this room. Every one of us. In fact, the moment that we think we are so good, we should just be let in. We are so full of pride. We're not seeing biblically straight. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. In Indianapolis, let's just get to the nitty-gritty for here for a moment. In Indianapolis, I just put it this way. There are a lot of good people in Indianapolis. I meet them every week. There's a lot of people who will stop and they'll talk to you. It really is. I love this here. It's a great place to raise a family. But let me put it this way. Being a good person doesn't get you to heaven. Now, help me out. If you believe that, say amen. Now, Pastor, I think we need to. Okay, fine. Well, then let's just camp here for a little bit. Look, I can sit down and preach all day if we want to, but I'm just going to put it this way. There's a lot of good people in this area, but there's going to be a lot of good people in a place called hell. Well, we don't like hearing that. It's Christmas time, and we just want to concentrate. Look, I love concentrating on heaven just as much as you do. I don't like preaching on hell. I don't like talking about hell. But let me put it this way. Hell is still in the Word of God, and the Bible talks more about hell than it does heaven. And friend, there are a lot of good people in your neighborhoods and at your work and who you ride the bus with, and there's a lot of good people in this area. Friend, you and I ought not to be willing to let any of those perish, but you and I ought to go to every single one of them. Why? Because their lives are weighed in the balance, and you and I have a job to do, and you and I ought to be inviting them in, not just to hear the orchestra or the choir. No, you and I ought to be getting here. And why? Because, friend, eternity is coming, and it's up to you and I to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. How many are thankful you're saved today? Say amen. But are we really? No, hold on. I think we say amen, but are we really? I think sometimes we get so used to it. It's almost just like brushing our teeth. But do you know that if you're saved today, you have been promised a home in heaven? Like, how awesome is that? You and I get to live with Him. It's a promise, understand, that you and I have been given His Word. Do you know that there is a promise? Check it out. And I know some of you in this very room with Ben and Michelle and Austin and others who have been saved just here recently, you might not fully comprehend this, but as we disciple you and give you the Word, and I'm thankful that you're staying faithful and stay in church because you're going to learn and you're going to learn. You might not understand this, but I'm going to put it this way. Here's what the Bible says. Do you know that you and I have been promised that Jesus Christ is going to return one day? How many believe that? Say amen today. He's going to return. The Bible says it like this. Check it out. It says this: for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord evermore. Check it out. You and I have the promise that He is going to come again, and when He comes again, and when He calls you and I home, you and I are going to live with Him for all of eternity. And check out this promise. It says this: and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Check it out. You and I, we are going to be in heaven one day. And when you and I are there, there's going to be no more death. No more death. No more sorrow. There's going to be no more disappointments. I'm not going to ask for an amen today, but we've all been disappointed this last year. All of us had somebody hurt us, or something that had come through, or the raise wasn't there, the job was lost, or the teenager, the young person went astray. We didn't get our way in some area. Look, we've all experienced disappointment. 2021 was not an easy year for Crosspoint. We lost some good men this year. Lost some good women this year. Lord called them home and they went home. You know, I can't be bitter over that, but let's put it this way. We miss them. We miss them. I know I've only been here a year, but and getting to know those that God called home, and even those that I never met, and Daniel and others. But let me tell you something. It's tough to go through that. It's tough to cry with your people and struggle. And this, especially this time of year with Brother Jeremy and Brother Earl and others, it's not an easy time of the year. We comprehend that. We understand this. But let me encourage us today. You ready for this? Check it out. One day, we will never have to go through death again. You ever been somewhere where you just cried? You began to weep? You just let it all out. You just began to cry. You know, God's going to wipe away our tears. We're not going to cry anymore. Sometimes we're criers. Pastor Dan, I've gotten to know you. Pastor Dan, when he gets really excited, like super excited, he's a crier, and I love it. Like, I love to see those tears. Like, man, we're just two big babies when somebody got saved even this past Wednesday. Praise the Lord for two people getting saved Wednesday, amen. Man, we rejoice. We're glad. But, you know, one day, the tears that we cry over being sad, God's going to wipe those away. I'm not allowed to do a happy dance, but I'm telling you, I do a happy dance just thinking about it. We ought to be happy. It's a promise that God's given us. Do you know you and I have a promise? Listen to this verse very carefully. Here's a promise from God. Stay faithful to the promise of God. Listen to this promise. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with whatso things ye have. For he has said, listen to this very carefully, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you know that you and I, yes, we rejoice and one day we're going to be in heaven. Yes, one day we're going to see all those who have gone before. Yes, one day you and I are going to be with him. There's going to be no more death, no more sorrow. Check it out. There's going to be no more sin. I love that thought. No more sin, no more backbiting, no more bitterness, no more drinking, no more drugs, no more pornography, no more pride. It's all gone. We're not going to have to deal with that anymore. But listen, we are not there yet. You and I are not part of that great cloud of witnesses. We are down here living on this earth. And Jesus said, look, you want a promise for the here and the now? Yes, Lord, that's what we want. Okay, here's what I'm going to promise you. There'll be many in your life that will leave you, and they will forsake you, and they will hurt you, and they will be gone. But here's what he said. He said this to the child that is saved. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. All you have to do is call on my name. I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to help you through. I'm going to see you through the struggles. Watch. He desires you and I to call upon his name. Desires us to. Carrie, on the way to church today, I saw you just a minute ago. Carrie, on the way to church today, we had all our kids in the car, and little Rose reminded me of a story that we were on vacation this about 2 years ago, and we had a big group of the Shepherd family, a bunch of us, my sisters and niece and nephews, and we come up to this elevator, and good grief, when you have, like, you know, 20 people, there's a lot of people to try to fit on the elevator. So it's really funny, and everybody trying to get on. And I was reminded of this story just this morning as Rose was telling it to me. But I remember we get up to these elevators, and both the doors open. And so the bulk of the Shepherd family, all of us go to crowd onto this one elevator. Well, Rose, I guess then she would have been 4 years old. Rose went in and got on the wrong elevator, and no one was on that elevator, only her. Doors open, little ding-a-ling walks into the wrong elevator. Like, good grief. It's like, y'all pray for us when she comes a teenager, because she's the only one just following everybody. You know, everybody, come this way. So, you know, she jumps on the wrong elevator, and I'm on there, and we're all talking, and I heard, I remember it to this day, I heard her with the most blood-curdling scream, "Dad!" Like, just scream, because she realized she's on the elevator. The doors are, they're shut, and she screams, and she's on the elevator by herself. There's 18 stories on this hotel, just so you know, and the doors are closing. And I heard her, and I'm in the middle of all of my sisters and brother-in-laws and all of us, and I knew it was my daughter, and I heard her, "Dad!" Just this scream. And I'll never forget, man, I like Superman. Went flying through, moving kids out of the way, kicking it by, just, I'm out of there. And I run around, right as that thing was shutting it. Oh, man, I got those, run, Rose, you know. I just gave my, and she came out, and I'm like, what are you doing? And there, and we hugged, and she was crying. She reminded me of the story just this morning. True story, I'm not making it up, okay? I'm a pastor, not an evangelist. Understand? Oh, man, I hope nobody's watching, okay? But anyways, I'm there, and I got her out. Now, comprehend this. Look. Nothing was going to stop me from being with my girl. I heard her voice and I knew her voice. Do you know he knows our voice? Our Abba Father hears us. And you and I cry out to Him, Father, Dad, Jesus Christ, my Savior, I need you, friend. He knows your voice. He knows what you're going through. And friend, not like some mortal like you and I, but this the God of the universe, He's going to be there with us. And no matter what our problem is or what our storm is or no matter how deep the miry clay is, He's going to be there with us. Why? Because He said it in His Word. And if He said it in His Word, friend, this never goes void. This is never wrong. No matter what culture, no matter what age, no matter what you and I go through, He's always going to be there with us. How many are thankful for that today? Say amen. Wow. Moses says this. You remember that promise. Stay faithful to the promises of God, but also stay faithful to the obedience and be blessed. Look what he says here in verse number 15. Look at it with me. It says this. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. Verse number 16. In what I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God. Look how he says it. To walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. For time's sake, move down to verse number 20. Look what it says. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Look, watch now. We see that obedience leads to incredible blessings. And if there was ever a day, excuse me, if there was ever a culture, if there was ever a society in the United States of America to be reminded of the incredible blessings of obedience, that day is today. The Bible says this, that you and I are reminded in obedience to walk in his ways. In verse number 16, it says this, watch out. And I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God and to walk in his ways. That means this, there is a blessing of following the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a blessing. Every young person, listen, college students, I know we got a ton in here, teenagers and a bunch back here. Teenagers and college students, listen to me just for a moment. Now you listen and watch. I'm giving you the best advice that I can. I want you to catch this. There's a lot of friends and a lot of those who have graduated, whether it be public school, Christian school, homeschool, it doesn't matter. Friends that are maybe 3 or 4 years older than you, and they're not living for the Lord, and they're not in church, and they're not obedient to authority. And it looks like to you, looking on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook, that they are living the high life. Man, they're out on the beach and they're living it up with their alcohol and they're living it up with their standards. They're living up just with their cuss words and just free of God. And oh, it's just so wonderful. Listen to me very carefully. A person that is saved and away from God, they may look like they're having fun. They may look like they're living it up. But I'm telling you, deep down, if they're saved, they are the most miserable people on earth. You ask an older generation. Sin might be fun for a season, but the consequences will eventually come. You obey God. You stay in His Word. You stay in church. You be the leader in the youth group. You be the leader at college. You keep praying about what He would have for your life. Don't be afraid to change. Don't be afraid to, okay, well, then maybe this wasn't working out. Let's change course a little bit and do what God wants you to do. I love, I'm looking at Clay Miller sitting right back over here. You know about Clay's story. Clay, everybody else was going to Bible college, and Clay jumped in, and Clay, you were doing what you felt like God wanted you to do in your life, and he was in a school here locally, and just this past year, you know what he did? I'm going to change schools. I asked you, Clay, what do you feel like? What do you feel like? Why are you making this decision? Here's his answer. I feel like this is what God wants me to do. Now, hold on. I don't have time to super get into this, but Clay, you're sitting over there, and so I'm just going to use it. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for parents that would say this. You may lose some credits and you may lose some money, but if you feel like this is what God wants you to do, then you go do what God wants you to do. We ought to be sick and tired of a nation that is so academics and education and this and that and scholarships. Look, is all that good and great? Yes, absolutely. But I'm here to tell you, friend, we need some young people like Clay that'll say, you know what? I can't do this. This is not where God would have me. I don't want to sit in the seat of the scornful. I want to be under some preaching. I want to go somewhere where I'm going to learn and grow. And Clay might not be a preacher. And Clay might not be a missionary. And Clay might not be a youth pastor. But I'll tell you this, Clay is going to be used of God because he knows the voice of God. And I'm thankful for young people that would say, even though everybody's going this direction and everybody's doing this, I'm just going to listen to the voice of God and obey his will for my life. That ought to really excite us as an older generation looking back. I've told every single one of them, and many of them in this room, we've got to have men like him. You understand, man, I'm starting to go on this little rabbit trail, and I'm going to shoot that rabbit and get right back, so just bear with me for a moment. I'll tell you this, as the baby boomers are now going into retirement age and walking out of these pulpits, I'm here to tell you, friend, we don't have a third. We don't have a third of the pastors to replace them. We're not even close to training young men to get in the pulpits in our good fundamental Baptist churches across this nation. We are in desperate need, friend. We have less missionaries going to the field than we did 30 years ago. And guess what? We have more people on this earth than we have ever had. And yet, Brother Titus, I don't mean to discourage you, we have more missionaries coming off of the field than we have going on the field. It's not that God has stopped calling. It's we've stopped listening. Well, I know what he's saying. And look, for all the parents out there that say, well, Pastor, you wait till your little boy and your little girl gets saved. Trust me, I'm not saying I'm exempt from this. I am not there yet. But you pray for me. Because it may come one day, as my son says back there, is only 12 years old. But in another 6 years, as he starts to pray for what God wants him to do, he may, Brother Danny, come up and say, you know what, I really feel like God has called me to this Arabic-speaking tongue here, or down in Africa, or maybe Southeast Asia and Laos. And Dad, I feel like this is what God wants me to do. And I'm sitting there as a dad thinking, he's going to hazard his life for the Lord Jesus Christ? No, son, you stay close, you stay with me, be in our church, be our youth pastor. Sorry, Pastor Blake, I'm not saying that I'm going to do that, but I'm saying just work here and do a good job and be close. No, friend, I know one day I might have to face that if God is speaking to my son, then son, go and turn that country upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid we stop listening and obeying his voice. But you know what? We're also to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments. Verse number 16 says this. It says, I command this day to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments. We turn away from the Bible. Friend, this is what we get. We get a country as we are seeing now that hates God and hates his word. A country where a generation is more obsessed with YouTube than they are the things of this Bible. A college age demographic that doesn't know the true meaning of peace. This is what we get. Verse number 20 says that you and I are to obey his voice. But here's, listen, church. Now listen, here's what I'm afraid. We don't know his voice. Moses said, obey his voice. That means this, you got to listen to him. You keep following that cloud by day and that fire by night. You keep listening to his voice. But in the day and age which we live, there's a lot of voices out there. Education, society, fun, corporate ladder, Christmas time. Look, I get it. I love Christmas. Pastor Chris would have to agree that being in ministry, Christmas is not always fun. We got this party, and we got to do this. We got to visit them, and this, and cookies, and people, and practices. How many practices? Oh, God, practice. I mean, this man's trying to pack and move. And, like, I saw your schedule this past weekend. It's practice. It's not always a fun time of year. But let me say this. Excuse me, Crosspoint. I'm not interested in scheduling Jesus Christ out of our lives. We need him in our lives more than ever. Why? Because we need to hear his voice and obey his voice. What voice is talking to us today? That's why I love the verse that says this. You ready for this? Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. How much time do we really take spending with the Lord? I remember talking, Carrie, with the guy I led to the Lord, and I said, you know, we're at a prayer meeting. I said, yeah, here's what we're going to do. I said, we're gonna pray, and we're gonna get to 30 minutes. We're gonna pray for 30 minutes. Now, for some of you, you're like, oh, I pray 30 minutes every day. For the average Christian, 30 minutes is a long time to talk to God. We're gonna talk to God. I said, what's the longest? Check this out. I said, what's the longest you think you've ever prayed? Newer Christian, what's the longest you think you have ever prayed before? Here's what he said. I didn't know we were supposed to time it. Yeah, that man convicted me that day. I'm timing it. I don't time my conversations with my wife, my kids, my church family. Putting God on a schedule. Oh, beep, 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 beep. Oh, 5 minutes is up. Sorry, God. Grocery shopping. Kids to ball games. Homework. Gotta go. Sorry, Lord. Till next time. Got my 5 minutes in. Woo-hoo-hoo. 10 minutes. Went a little bit overtime today, Lord, but don't get too stressed out. I'll take it off tomorrow's. Excuse me. I didn't know we were supposed to time it. Here we have this reminder. This reminder. Check it out. Stay focused. You and I are this reminder here to stay faithful. Don't stop. Stay faithful, but also, and here's where I'm going to end. I'm trying to shorten this down a little bit for time's sake. But listen, number one, we see, we're reminded to stay faithful. Number two, write this down. Number two, stay focused. Look with me at chapter number 31, and look at verse number one here. Look at verse number one. Look what it says here. It says, and Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel and said unto them. Now watch. You ready for this? I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. And here's what Moses said. Moses said this. I want you to stay focused and stay focused in your life stage. Moses is 120 years old, and yet here's where we find him. He is still teaching. He is still focused. 40 years, they've been wandering around. 40 years of death, 40 years of the same food, 40 years in the same clothes, 40 years in the same shoes, 40 years with the same complainers and the generation of the complainers. 40 years, here's what they've been doing. And yet here is a man who's in the fourth quarter of his life, and he's saying this, you stay focused. Older generation, I talk to our young people often, but I want to talk to you just for a moment. Older generation, let me remind you that Abraham was 75 when God first called him in Genesis chapter number 12. Tough old Caleb was 85 when he asked God to give him that mountain so that he could conquer it. Daniel was around the age of 88 years old when he began to pray for the Lord about ending the Babylonian captivity. That means this. Now listen. That means this. It doesn't matter if you're 60, 65, 70, 80, 85 years old. I want you to tune in for just a moment. That means this. You have to stay just as focused as a 38-year-old or just as focused as Brother Miller, who said he's going to Bible college this next semester. That means this. You can't give up now. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. Don't you live in fear. Don't you complain about, well, this next generation coming up. That's what I hear. Carrie, do we not constantly, sorry, I got to time my shoe. Constantly we always hear this, well, this generation coming up. Look, I guarantee you every one of you that were raised in the 60s and 70s, Your mom and dad and your grandparents said the same thing about you. Oh, this hippie generation, groovy generation coming up. Boy, I'm just telling you. They said the same thing about you as you're saying about the next generation. Here's what we got to do. We got to realize every generation is messed up in their own way, but all of them know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and God is the same yesterday and today and forever. If you believe that, say amen. So you and I got to quit harping on the generation that's coming up and so worried about their culture and what they do, and they're going to do things differently. We all do things differently. We all have different preferences, but check it out. You have to realize you're needed in this fight. Now, you may not believe that. Well, I'm just telling you, I've said it before, so I'm not going to go there again, but I say it often. Don't you ever come up to me, because I might just even be rude. Check it out. I might just be rude and say, Pastor Shepherd, I just guess we're getting put out to pasture. That's it. All the young people coming up are just being put out to pasture. Stop. Just stop. Are there people here that have more energy than you? Absolutely. Our spear team is not made up of 85-year-olds, and that's not an offense to anyone, but I'm pretty sure the guys we had on there could probably run and chase somebody down better than you can, and that's okay. We might not need you for the strength or chasing somebody, some guy that robbed a purse out of a car, but I'm telling you what we do need. We need your wisdom. We need your faith. We need you. Why? Because you've been through it. Here's Moses. You know what he's saying? Stay faithful. Stay focused. At the end of his life, he could have said, you know what? See you, dudes. That's it. I'm done. It's over. Good grief. Good luck, Shalane. Good luck. You do the best you can. I am out of here. I'm glad I don't get to go in the promised land because I've been with you people too long. I'm done. Checked out. CNN, baby. Fox News. I'm sitting back relaxing, hitting the green out there, and I'm going to go work on my putt and my drive a little bit, and I'm done. No. Here's what he said. You stay focused. Every hoary head in this room today, I'm not going to put an age on it because somebody was going to write me an email or a letter tomorrow, how offended you are that I called you. It's a great privilege to be called a gray head. It's a great privilege. If you agree with that, say amen. It's starting to get a little awkward in here, so I'm like, how am I going to like resurrect us out of this? But I got a good last point, and it's going to pull us out. For all those of you who are like, go on, keep saying it. Okay, look, Sonny. All right, just wait a minute. Hold on. It's a great honor to have the gray hair that you do and to live the life that you've lived. I don't care if you were saved just this past year or if you've been saved for 50 years. I am telling you this right now. We need you at Cross Point Baptist Church. We have marriages that are struggling. We have parents that, man, they're all over the place and raising kids. We're going to have to step out by faith, and I mean that, for persecution and for growing this place. And guess what? We may not use the method that you use, but I'm here to tell you, we want the wisdom that you have. Why? Because you've been married for 30 years. We want that wisdom that you have. Why? Because you've done incredible things and watched God move in great ways, in miraculous ways, financially and through circumstances and with different situations, whether those that, man, a college student's gone astray or a marriage is about to break up. Listen. Yo, we need from you to stay in the fight with us. How many of the younger generation love the older people that we have here? Would you say amen today? Man, we love them. Praise the Lord for you. He says this, I want you to stay focused in your life stage. And here's where I'm going to end, but don't shut your Bibles because you'll need them. Also, stay focused living with courage. Look at verse number 6 here of chapter 31. Look what it says. And be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee. Look, he's not going to forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong, Joshua, and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, and he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not. Listen, Joshua, fear not, neither be dismayed. Okay, hold on. Now listen, We've got to have an older generation. But now Moses calls and he says, okay, look, I'm still focused, 120 years old, probably not running around like he used to. I'm sure he still's got his staff, but here's what's going to happen. He's going to call Joshua in, and now the younger generation is going to step up to the plate. Joshua is now going to be the leader. But what Joshua, look now, watch, what Joshua is moving into, it's not going to be easy. But hey, there's going to be a lot of battles that he's going to have to fight. Look, there may be a generation that went before. And then we're thankful. I use Pastor Defoe because he doesn't mind often. And Pastor Defoe's generation has gone before and they fought their battles. But as Pastor Defoe now hands it, Pastor Airwood hands that mantle backwards, and the next generation coming up behind, it's not for you and I to say, well, let's sit back, relax, and whoo, the hard part's over, let's coast in. No, no. Listen, I don't mean to be discouraging. But I want to talk to us as millennials in this next generation that is the leaders, Brother Schellenberg. Let me put it this way. The day and age that you and I live, this isn't an easy day to live in. Brother Gary, this isn't an easy day. We're not coasting. We're not sitting back. Comprehend this, that cancel culture, the culture that you and I live in, they're not playing around. They're out for blood. The generation we live in, this critical race theory, is destroying Generation Z and Generation Y. The culture we live in, 24 million children in America, that's one out of three, live in a home without a father. As many children are being cared for by grandparents as single dads. The culture we live in, 55% of the LGBTQ movement claim to be religious. They claim to have what you and I have. Watch this. We live in a society that thinks our kids should be able to choose their gender as young as 3 years old without parental consent. We live in a society where we want our kids to be able to choose to have an abortion at 14 years old in some states without parental consent. We live in a culture that will praise Allah and condemn Jesus. We live in a world that lifts up pornography and alcohol and is legalizing marijuana in many of our states today. A world where churches are closing their doors at an alarming rate because there's more interest in fighting over standards than winning souls to Christ. Well, what do we do? Good grief. I mean, didn't see this coming. Well, we should have. Because the Bible says this, we know also. In the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. That means this, that's the generation we live in. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of them that are good. They hate us. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. The older generation saying, look, you got to stay focused. Stay focused even at the end of your life and in the fourth quarter. Don't sit back. Don't relax. Don't get so involved and live in fear that the news is pumping out. No, no. You invest in the next generation. Why? Because this next generation has to stay focused. Why? Because the world that we live in, it's not getting better. It's actually getting a lot worse. Oh, Pastor, this is so awful. It's so depressing. Oh, my goodness. Good grief, it's 12 o'clock. How in the world are you supposed to, how are you supposed to land this plane and be done and this is it? Okay, so hold on. Before we depress people like Ben and Katie who were just married this past summer, and people like Bryce and Abby who are here and going to join the church, and this couple that's just been married, and Avery and others who are these young couples that are coming up, before we just say, boy, it's depressing, this is awful, and my goodness, let's go. Culver's has got to be more, you know, encouraging than this is. Now, are you hungry? Okay, now, hold on. Before you think about a fish sandwich and your little Snicker thing, let's just put it this way. DJ, what do we do? How do we encourage this generation? Now, hold on. DJ, run up here with me real quick. Watch. Now, DJ, here's CJ. DJ looks so sharp today. Here's CJ, one of our teenagers at the church. Are you a senior, DJ? No. Junior. So here's CJ. Now, hold on. Now I can list all these things out. Here's DJ. He's a high school student, grew up in church, plays in the orchestra up here, and I appreciate your spirit, DJ. Plays on the basketball team, point guard or wing or something like that. Anyways, we'll figure it out later. Nonetheless, we can step back and say, look at all this stuff, critical race theory, and the awfulness, the atrocity, and 1 in 3 kids growing up without a dad. And aren't we thankful for dads today, amen? And aren't we thankful for moms today, for all the single moms in here and single dads in here? This doesn't mean that you're a second rate. It just means this. We got some work to do. Now watch. What are we going to do with this generation? Now, how am I supposed to encourage him? Oh, DJ, I'm raising kids right now. When you start having kids, wouldn't want to raise kids when you start having them. This world's going to be awful, horrible. Don't have them. Depressing. Dark clouds. Oh, rain. Oh, it's like January 2nd every day of the year. Just awful. Just it's pitiful. Now, hold on. We can sit here, and I can just wear this man out. Just bring him low. Your generation, you don't care about anything. All you care about sports. All you care about blah, blah. And just, I mean, we really can work him down to where he's like, you know what? Honestly, Mom and Dad, I don't feel like coming back to church. Or we could be Moses. And DJ, let me read what Moses said 120 years old. Be strong and of a good courage. DJ, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he is that that doth go with thee. He won't fail thee. DJ, here's what Moses said. He'll never forsake thee. You will lead the charge. Moses telling Joshua, you're going to lead the charge. And it's going to be tough. But you got it. I can. I don't know. We're going in. We're going to be fighting these giants and good grief. Do you not see the? No, no. Hold on. Hold on. DJ. Don't fear. Don't you fear. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. Look, they're saying now coronavirus, it could be around for 10 years. Fear, don't fear. Stop. God's going to be with you. She's not surprised by this. Yeah, but they're saying the LGBTQ, and they're saying that we got it, and people are getting fired, and then religious exemptions, blah, blah, blah. Stop. Don't you fear, DJ. Don't you be scared. You're the next leader. Here, you hold it high. You don't have to hold it high. You go out. If this makes sense today, would you say amen?
Amen.
You, DJ, don't look at all this around you. Don't you get bogged down in the world. No, you stay focused. Don't you stop. You stay focused on him. Why? Because, DJ, you have no idea how much we need you. You have no idea. My desk today is a letter from Pastor Defoe. A letter that I almost cried reading. I'm so glad you're our pastor. You keep going. I love you. You know what Pastor Defoe's doing? He's Moses in my life. He's telling me, don't you fear, Pastor. Don't you get down. You stay focused on him. And this generation is reaching out to your generation. We're telling you the same thing. Who cares what the world's doing? Who cares what friends are doing? Who cares what the party is doing? Who cares what the society and culture and don't get your eyes out. Turn off Facebook for a little while. Get off TikTok for a time and put away YouTube. And you get your eyes on him. Why? Because God said, just as he said to that generation and this generation, he's saying it to this generation, he's got us. He's undefeated. We win. Keep our eyes on him. Well, did you see what CNN? Did you see what they did? Did you see who got fired? Did you see what coronavirus? Excuse me, friend. We're just going to camp out in our houses for the rest of the time? No. We've got a God that's saying, get your Bible, get your tracts, get out the highways and hedges, get them in. Let's have a Christmas concert. Let's praise our God. Let's worship him. Two teenagers, is it Madison Brotham? Was that who was? Addison just brought, Addison, I don't know if you're here today, but is Addison here? Raise your hand. Brought two teenagers. Those teenagers came in. TJ's just stand right there. Be real awkward for a moment. Addison brought them in and marched them down. You know, most, when we bring visitors, here's what we do. We love to bring them in. We sit at the very back. I know all of you. You sit back there and you got your visitors and, whoo, let's sneak out of here. Pastor's always done by 11:58, 12:06. Check it out. Nah-uh. Okay, so here's what Addison does. Brings them in and marches them and sits them on the front row. Wednesday night. After the service, Pastor Fitzgerald stepped out, came and addressed them, said, hey, you want to know more about Christ? You know what they said? Yeah. Pastor, stand up for a moment. Now, come here, Pastor, real quick. Take your time. Okay. Here we go. Now, hold on. And he walks right up here. And you know what he does? It reaches out to a generation that most would think he's not relevant to them. He didn't fear. And he stepped out and said, would you like to know more? Both teenage boys said, we would. Goes against Coach Schellenberg and Pastor Dan. They bring him in a side office. I'm sorry, I wait around for as long as I can. I think y'all are back there for about an hour or so. They come out, check it out. Both of them got saved. Whoa, whoa, hold on. What are we doing? I tell you what we're doing. Generations working together for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We come together and stay focused on Him. Stop, stop. Well, they said this. Well, they did this. Well, I wasn't treated. Stop, stop. Hold on. Time out. Here's what we need. Arm in arm. Come here, DJ. He does not like this, I promise you. Arm in arm. Somebody get a picture of this. This is a good one. Arm in arm for the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many agree we need DJ? Say amen.
Amen.
I would say we need Pastor Shepherd, but I'm afraid there wouldn't be very many amens. So how many would say we need Pastor Fitzgerald? Say amen. We need every generation. Every generation. Friends, family, stay focused this Christmas season. You stay faithful this Christmas season. Every college student, there's always some college students out there and they make the world look so good. God is so much better.
Amen.
You stay faithful this Christmas season.